Welcome to Beneath the Surface. I'm Susie Wiseman. It's Memorial Day, and I couldn't think of a better way to commemorate it than by checking in with Joshua Kors. He's been relentlessly tracking the treatment our injured Iraq and Afghan vets are getting once they're stateside and have to deal with their ongoing medical care. We've interviewed Joshua twice before as his story broke in the nation, and I'm really pleased to be able to revisit that today. Joshua, welcome to Beneath the Surface.
Good to be with you, Susie.
Very good to be with you, too. And I should let the listeners know you're an investigative reporter for The Nation, where you've been covering both of these military and veterans issues. And you've also, you're the winner of the National Magazine Award, the George Polk Award, the IRE Award, and many others as well. And you've earned national attention for your work uncovering the veterans benefit scandal, not only in the two-part series that showed how military doctors have been misdiagnosing soldiers wounded in Iraq and labeling them mentally ill in order to deny them medical care and disability pay, but also in July of 2007, it led to your testifying before the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. And listeners, you can find all of Joshua's articles and interviews at www.joshuacorsoneword.com, and that's Kors with a K. So, Joshua, welcome back to Beneath the Surface. Let's just start with where we are now. What's the difference now that we have Obama as president? Are vets getting a better deal yet?
Well, since last we spoke, things have changed for the better in some ways. One of the biggest improvements is the passage of the 21st Century GI Bill, which actually passed at the end of the Bush administration. For a long time, finding college education after serving in Iraq and Afghanistan was a bit of a joke. The bill just didn't provide enough money for today's prices. But with the 21st Century GI Bill, which was really a legislative priority for Paul Rykoff, the executive director of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, now soldiers coming back will get the highest price for the state school in their state, which makes education possible.
Well, that's really good, isn't it?
That is good, and I think also the VA, which to many veterans groups had been kind of deaf to the needs of these 21st century veterans, is now getting an influx of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans themselves. I think about Tammy Duckworth, who is now a top secretary in the VA. She herself had her legs blown off during her service in Iraq.
And she was featured, I think, in one of the mainstream media documentaries.
She's been featured a lot.
Yeah.
A very understanding figure, someone who ran for Congress and narrowly lost. So there's a sense now from the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans that bit by bit they're receiving representation. Patrick Murphy is another good example, the first Iraq vet to be serving in the U.S. Congress.
Well, and I think that this is a really important issue because we're beginning to hear a lot more about the vets, and this is going to be something that will be with us for the rest of their lives. So this will be a very big issue, I think even bigger than the Vietnam vets, given, you know, what they've been through, what they've survived, and how we've treated them. And we've seen, you mentioned the GI Bill that made it through in the Bush administration. It's just that, you know, after the Bush administration extolled our troops, they could never quite say soldiers, you know, then systematically denied them the kind of care and really treatment that they needed in terms of organizing the rest of their lives with education. But you did mention to me in an email that Obama actually co-wrote the legislation on the personality disorder scandal that you uncovered, but the bill never got promoted and died. Can you tell us just a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was a strange series of events. In 2007, I uncovered that military doctors are purposely misdiagnosing soldiers wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan as being mentally ill in order to deny them medical care and disability pay. It's happened to more than 22,500 soldiers in just the last few years since the beginning of the War on Terror. And in those years, the VA has been saving well over $12 billion in providing care. Of course, mental illness, personality disorder, being a pre-existing condition, is something that the military doesn't have to pay for. But we were talking about sicknesses that were so directly war-related and so absurdly connected to personality disorder with John Towne, who...
Yes, I was just thinking of him.
First article, yeah. After being struck by a rocket and losing the majority of his hearing, they said his deafness was caused by personality disorder.
And the same thing, wasn't it, with Juan Jimenez, who had a different sort of brain damage, but nonetheless, again, was told it was a pre-existing disorder?
Well, no, his was not a personality disorder case, but it was a case that really revealed the system, and that's where the focus of Americans should be on this day. Not who are the officials that are coming into the system, but what is the system?
Excellent.
Right now, if a soldier comes back from Iraq and Afghanistan and is seeking benefits, before he can get benefits for those wounds, first he has to prove that those wounds came from war. And with Sergeant Jimenez, who won 2 Purple Hearts after being struck by roadside bombs while serving in Iraq, he still had shrapnel embedded in his skin, yet there he was 3 years later fighting the VA to prove that his wounds came from war.
This is just absolutely stunning, Joshua Kors. It was bad enough that you revealed that people who were deaf from roadside bombs could be considered suffering from previously existing conditions or personality disorders. That was pretty bad, but now this one, that you actually have to prove that your injuries came from the war, and that, you know, something so obvious as shrapnel right there is not considered proof, but even more than that, I guess the notion that you are guilty of thieving from the system until you can prove that you actually served your country and got the wounds doing so.
You have to have a dark sense of humor to investigate these cases. With Jimenez, they said that he didn't show enough proof that he was suffering from brain damage and seizure disorder after being struck in the head, but yet he had a seizure while at the VA, and the VA doctors decided to give him seizure medication.
Ah.
But yet for benefits purposes, that wasn't enough proof. And I have to say, it's important not to pin this on the Bush administration. This proof system, soldiers having to show that their wounds are service-connected, goes back generations. It's just that nobody in the media or from veterans groups themselves have really pushed hard to expose it.
Except for you, Joshua Kors. And you can read, and seriously, I need to tout your work that was broken in 2 issues of The Nation. And listeners, you can find the articles and interviews relating to it in their entirety on his website, www.joshuakors.com. Well, Joshua, let's go back to this because, you know, the other side of it is, well, let me just ask, as we're now entering into a national conversation, I wish it were a national conversation. It's the insurance companies and the hospitals and the doctors having a conversation with Obama, but we're going to hope the public gets involved and is allowed at the table. If we get health care reform and have one system, do you think that this will fix that part of the system where the Veterans Administration is trying to cut costs and keep as many people out of the system and make them prove that they should be in it?
I think that remains to be seen. Right now, the medical system for soldiers is a completely separate animal from the medical system they're looking at for the rest of Americans. I think the more direct question is what happened with that personality disorder approach that Obama was taking. He was very cognizant of my reporting, and in response, he and Republican Senator Kit Bond stepped forward with a bill, S-1817, which would put a halt to these fraudulent personality disorder discharges. But it never really got publicity, and Obama, in the course of the campaign, never really stepped forward to talk about that issue. Obviously, there were other things on the table, like the economy.
But it seems that that's a wasted... I mean, he still won. But on the other hand, what a great way to show who really cared about our troops.
Yeah, I think it was baffling to me and many of the veterans groups as to why he would write the bill and then not discuss it openly. Of course, without that publicity, there was no public support. Without public support, it simply withered and died.
But haven't you found
the question for veterans groups now that Obama's taken the oath of office is, will the bill be introduced? And will President Obama support Senator Obama's bill?
Right. And this just seems to be the kind of issue that's tailor-made for Obama because it's post-partisan. Given everything that's gone with this war and the support of the troops, it would be hard to find any American that would oppose reforming the medical system and the post-war treatment that the vets get.
Well, you'd actually find many in the VA who are opposed to it, and right now that's the key sticking point.
Why are they opposed to it?
There were several justifications, and I was in San Francisco this past year where a veterans group, Veterans for Common Sense, was suing the VA in San Francisco federal court. A lot of the VA officials, top brass from Washington, came out to the West Coast and spoke with me about the system. They said it's really important for soldiers to prove that their wounds came from war because a large portion of the soldiers come into the military with a situation of either going to jail or to the army, and those aren't people you'd want to trust to accurately report their wounds. And in fact, Susie, it goes deeper than that. It's not just a slanted view of the officials themselves. You look at the VA manual, which guides VA doctors on how to treat wounded soldiers. The manual actually says that soldiers are not to be trusted in their description of their own wounds, especially when it comes to PTSD, which would require a lifetime of benefits, because PTSD is relatively easy to fake.
Oh, my God. Well, just as you said that, I got a shudder. And I have to say, Joshua Kors, that this is not something that's new to this war, even to the previous one. I remember so well when I was in high school that some kids went out in a small town and got drunk one night and ended up stealing a car radio. When they went in front of the judge, they said 3 years in jail or two in Vietnam in the Army, and off they went. And so that's clearly part of what you've just been speaking about, but it's just unbelievable that they could use that to determine medical benefits.
And I think that whole approach is so far in the past. I think many veterans hear words like that and are just so insulted. These are honorable men who are choosing to serve their country, and all they ask is to be believed when they come back and say, I was struck in the head. I'm seeing visions that aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waking up with nightmares so severe that I don't want to go to bed at night.
And I think you also, Joshua, uncovered the amount of suicides that we're seeing once they get home that has really been sort of been a non-story. They haven't really covered it. But is it still continuing at the rate that you described about a year ago?
It's absolutely astronomical. In 2009, this last block of months, there were 128 soldiers who died in combat in Iraq and Afghanistan. There were 109 who ended their own lives.
Do you know, and I just want to say on this Memorial Day, I'm speaking with Joshua Kors. I'm Susie Wiseman. The program's Beneath the Surface, and we're talking about the continuing treatment, ill treatment of our troops that have come back. And I want to get to another part of the story, the homeless Iraqi vets. But first, I just want to ask you, because the torture scandal is going on, have you had the opportunity to talk to any of those soldiers who were unfortunate enough to be in a position of interrogating?
I've talked with soldiers who've had some unfortunate, violent encounters with civilians in Iraq, none of them dealing with terrorists themselves. But those are things I want to hold back on because I'm doing some more investigation.
Well, I can't wait to see what you do on that because I can't think of I just want to say, Joshua, that this seems ripe for more post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms.
There's no doubt about that. When there's a situation of violence and torture, cruelty between the two parties, at the end of the day, both sides come out traumatized.
Well, let's just wrap it up finally. We have about 2 minutes left, Joshua Kors, and I want to talk about what happens when they get home. You talked on your website and in an interview about a new documentary about homeless Iraqi vets, When I Came Home. What is that story about?
Yeah, filmmaker Dan Lohaus did an extraordinary film called When I Came Home, and for those in the audience want to mark this Memorial Day, watching that film would be a great way to go. I don't think many people in America even realize that there are homeless Iraqi vets.
Already.
Already,
yeah.
But there are. And in my conversation with him just this past week, he said something that sounded right on target. He said what all of these homeless Iraqi vets had in common is that they had been waiting way more than a year to get their benefits. They had to go through the proof system. Some of them, when getting what they saw as a bum rap in their initial decision from the VA, had to go through an appeal. The average appeal time is 3.5 years.
What if these injuries are like
benefits and dealing with wounds?
Yeah.
It's very easy to slip into homelessness.
And that's the story. And where can listeners view this documentary on this Memorial Day?
They can go to whenicamehome.com.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, Joshua Kors, the time has flown, as it always does when I talk to you. We're out of time. But I want to thank you again for the work that you're doing, and I'm so glad that you were available to talk to us on Memorial Day.
You're welcome, and I encourage readers to look forward to a part three.
Yes.
In my investigation on personality disorder, that should be out sometime.
And that, I understand, you're going to be looking at exactly what's different under President Obama and what he's going to be doing to pass his own bill.
That's right.
Thank you, Joshua Kors. You can find all of his articles and interviews at www.joshuakors.com. You can also find his articles at thenation.com. He is an investigative reporter. We're glad he's out there. He's the only one that's unrelentingly tracking the treatment our injured Iraq and Afghan vets are getting once they're stateside. Joshua Kors, thanks for being with us on Beneath the Surface.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you. And don't go away. When we come back, we're going to look at the other side of the scandal, the torture part, with the Center for Constitutional Rights.